So good morning, Saints. It's my goal today to continue with last week's message, hopefully a little less emotional, but definitely as real. I sat with Daddy a lot about that and about just what that love meant and what he was looking for from us. And it still just kind of bewilders me because I don't know if I have the ability in myself to love that way. So I began to ask God, show me how to love like that. Show me what that looks like. Give me an idea of what your love toward me is like so I can try to reciprocate that love. That's a bold request. But I asked for it because, like most of us, I realize that I don't love God in my mind as much as I should, whatever that means. What I began to understand was something that God spoke to me recently about somebody else that I was working with, I was doing business with, and they kept doing things that seemed to me that they should be more mature than that and they should know better. Or that they weren't acting in the way that I felt was becoming to a business person. Anybody be aware of what I'm talking about? It could be a coworker, it could be whatever. And God gave a revelation. You can't expect people You can't expect people, I don't know if I say exactly how you say it. You can't be mad at people for not being who they're not. That's what he said. You can't be upset with people for not being who they're not. They can't be who they're not. So when I was talking to God, and even early this morning, he said to me, I don't get upset with you for not being who you're not. I hold you accountable for what you know who you are. And I understand your frailties. And you don't love like I love. But I expect the best out of you with what you do have and what you do know. I expect you to love according to your capacity to do so right now. That changed the shift. And this is why it's important what I'm saying to you. When we get to, quote unquote, beat ourselves up mode, when we get into this place where, Lord, I don't know how to be this thing, and, you know, we go to that whole almost pity party, we come to a realization it's a deflection. And what do I mean by that? Well, I can get hard on myself and down on myself and feel sorry for myself and almost think I'm being spiritual and almost think I'm really repenting before God and doing something spiritual and heavy when I'm repenting for something that I know I cannot obtain anyway. Hope I didn't lose anybody. See, the enemy is the accuser of the brethren. But sometimes we're the accuser of the brethren. And sometimes we accuse ourselves. And in doing that, we're not open to healing or direction. We're looking for sympathy or pity, be it from God or from other people. So God says, while you're focusing on how you can't love like me, which you never really will be able to do, it takes you away from the fact that you're not loving as you could to the fullest potential. Or we don't want to have this conversation. See, God is holding me accountable for what he knows I'm able to do and not doing, not all the things I think I should be doing and I'm not doing. God's looking at me saying, son, I don't expect you to love like me, but I expect you to love with the fullest capacity that I've given you. I don't know if you can hear me, but you can say amen. I mean, I don't know, I can't hear you, but you can still say amen to that. And I said, wow, okay, yeah. I can be better at expressing what you've given me so far than putting all my attention on what you have not given me or what I have not grown into and how good I'm not, how bad I'm doing that. So he took me back to the same scriptures. We're going to go back to them today. And I began to see something that I didn't pay attention to before. One was, Second Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. And as he began to show me last week that it's not about the giving money as much as it is of giving yourself, because you can give money and still not have your spirit or your heart in it or yourself in it. And I won't go through all that again because we covered it last week, but I will take it further based on the revelation he gave me. Give what you're able to give, not what you wish you had to give. Sow what you're able to sow with the right heart, not sit back and say, well, if I had more, I can do more. Jesus, how do I say this without? Because I don't want this to be a message of finger pointing. I want this to be a message of encouragement. But there are people who don't tithe, they don't give, and they always use the excuse, if I had more, I'd do more. The reality is, if you're not doing anything with what you have, you're not going to do anything with if you have more, because you always have an excuse or justification that is not enough. You know, you can make more money, and you're going to get a bigger place to live, and you're going to have more expenses, and you're right back where you started, I don't have enough to give. So it's never going to be about what you have, you know, or what you lack. It's going to be, what are you doing with what you have? So when God began to deal with me about loving him, he said, I'm expecting you to give me the best of what you have. I'm expecting you to give to me out of the generosity of your heart, as the scripture says, not based on what you wish you had. So watch this. Verse 6, but I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Now, again, I know this is used all over the world just to talk money, but we're not talking money today. Let's take offerings and tithes out of the equation for this moment. He who sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. So I said, okay, God, so you're telling me now you want me to love and commit to you and commit to the people you call me to love outside of this being sparing. And I went to look up the Hebrew word for sparingly, and it was sparingly. It was like, sparingly? What do you mean? What do you mean? You're sowing off of what you have to spare, not what you have to give. I have this to spare. That means, in its essence, listen to what I'm saying to you, that means you can be giving, and you're still not reaping like you should, because you're giving, again, money off the table is what you have left. The time I give you is what I have to spare. I'm not sacrificing my time or taking away from something that's important to me to look out for you. I got a vacation plan. I'm not messing up my vacation because you got sick. We can have a little conversation, just a little bit. And I'm not saying you should do that out of the need to get anybody's approval or love, but if God directs you to do so, because this is what it comes down to. We're not talking about giving to people. We're talking about giving to God. We're talking about what God asks for and what we give God back in return. What I'm talking about is the giving that you do that's not even motivated out of your own delusion of grandeur, that you help so many. Say, I help this person, I help that person, I think this person. And so you still feeding off of the reciprocation of what you give, what you get back out of your own flesh and your own flesh motivation. So when we're talking about God, help them get this and help me explain it. What God has been dealing with me about is the state of my heart and why do I do what I do? And even when I do good, am I doing good by him who is good, or am I doing good that I might receive recognition from people that will then call me good? I minister to and help a lot of people, and if you've been in ministry as long as I have, you get a lot of compliments. People say, oh, you changed my life, or you helped me, or I read your book, or I saw you online, or... And then you can begin to feed on that. And then your motivation for doing what you do becomes, I need more of that. And so now, if I'm not getting these compliments, then I begin to question if I'm in the mood of God, because I'm basing now everything on reciprocation from the people that I sow to, not obedience to the instruction that God has given. Do I have the attention at all? Do you understand where we're going here? Starting out slow, so grab on, because once we start rolling, it gets thick. So this is 101. Let's get your foundation in. God judges the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And that's one of my scriptures later on. I won't go all into it now. But God's not looking at the action physically. He's looking at the motivation of my heart. I'm saying me, so you don't feel like I'm picking on you. He's looking at the motivation of my heart. What is my intention when I do even the quote-unquote good Christian godly thing? So now let's go back to this word. Let's go back to the scripture here. And let's look at this. He said, if you sow out of what you have to spare, you will reap from God and from people what they have to spare, right? But he who sows bountifully should reap bountifully. So now, bountifully has a different, it has an explanation. The Greek for it is praise. It's the praise of God. It's fine. It's discourse. It's polished language. It's like a blessing. It's a benediction. I'm doing this bountifully, and it's as unto the Lord. I'm doing this for you with the heart as if I'm doing it for God. And understanding what the heart of doing this for God is makes the difference for me. Now, I want to read this. So, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, but he who sows bountifully with a God type of heart from a God position, he will reap from people with a God heart or a God care in their giving. Watch this. Every man according as his purpose in his own heart. So now he's looking for not what you believe religiously you're supposed to do, not what logic says you're supposed to do or dictates. He's looking for a purpose of your heart. What is your heart purpose to do? God is saying, I need you to get out of church giving, and I need you to start to give and do and serve from a God heart. Well, I did this, and I sang in the choir, and I did this, and they didn't even recognize me. And I didn't get a promotion, and they didn't even clap for me like they clap it up. Well, then your heart is wrong. Because you're not, you, and I've seen this in praise and worship. And I've even said to praise and worship at times in the past, so very often, that was a performance. That was not worship. It was a performance, and you did a phenomenal job, but it wasn't worship. It wasn't unto the Lord you were trying to get applause for the crowd. I can tell in my spirit that you put on a show. And so, let's come back to this. Ask each man his purpose in his own heart. So God is saying to me, I'm looking for you to approach this. Watch this. Something you chose to do, to bring forward and bring forth from your own storehouse, right? To bring forth from oneself, to choose for oneself before purposing to or giving to another. So a choice made in yourself by your own purpose and design. Let me explain to you what I'm saying. Let me give it to you in the simplest form. Jesus tells a story about the widow. We talk about the widow's mite. And the story comes down to this. It said, many wealthy men were given of abundance of what they had. But then this one woman shows up and she drops what we would equate to a penny into the offering. So Jesus took offerings. And Jesus turned to the crowd and to, now this had to be insulting, think about it, to these wealthy people, because they probably were very proud of their gifts. He said, this woman has given more than any of you. Because you gave what you had to spare, she gave all she had. That one penny was worth more than your half million because you had 50 million and you gave her a little bit, but she gave all she had left. Now, again, that's a heart purpose. It's not the amount. It's not the amount. It was, this is from my heart that I've committed to give to you, God, to use as you will. I committed my gift, my heart, my time to you first. Please hear what I'm saying. Please hear what I'm saying. I'm not asking anybody to go out tomorrow and then start trying to abundantly give to everybody and help everybody and serve everybody. That's not what we're speaking right now. What we're talking about right now is purposing before God before you give to anybody. Purposing before God. That means before you put an offering in this Sunday and any Sunday going forward, you should have purpose before you came to church, before you serve in the usher's ministry, before you do praise and worship. You should have purpose before you showed up to God all that you have in that gift before you opened your mouth. Before you stood up to sing, before you vacuumed the floor, before you set the chairs up. This should have been something that was purposed between me and God before I got up here. Before I get up here to speak a message, I shouldn't say, I'm going to speak a good message today. Boy, they're going to be screaming and rolling in the aisles. No, I should say, God, I'm surrendering this to you. May it be acceptable in your sight. And then I will serve it to the people after I have first committed to serving it to you. God has given me businesses and business ideas. And I've taken them from God, and I've gone off to develop them, asking God what he thought as I went forward, instead of saying, God, I submit this totally to you. This is what I give to you with my heart. What say you? Trust in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit them to him, and he will bring it to pass. I gave it to you. You're free to do whatever you want. You don't even have to bring it back to him. You can go give it to Satan and still develop it if you want to. But he said, if you commit it to me, I will bring it to pass. Why am I struggling in my business? Because you haven't given it to him. You took it from him and you took it and made it your own. And you haven't given it back to him. And that's not a one-time thing. That's an ongoing process. I have to continually stop and say, God, I give back to you what you're giving to me. You make it work. I want to talk about where I am and where I live right now. So here I am in Miami, Florida. Beautiful. Wow, it's so nice. And I'm going, God, with all this niceness, I'm out here alone. Like, I don't know people. I sit around and feel like I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I get on my business calls and do that kind of stuff. But then the rest of the time, I'm And God said, I've given you solitude so that you can find me. He told me this morning. You know how to do all the stuff you do. But I need you to take time to find me because that's something you don't do well. I know how to seek him. I know how to get instructions from him. And then I make a move and I seek for more wisdom. Give me more wisdom for the next step, God. And then he'll move again. And I said, God, give me some more wisdom. And God said, why don't you just find me and let me bring it to pass? Why don't you just come to me and lay it down and say, I entrust this to you with my whole heart. Not grudgingly or necessity, because you know you're supposed to give it to God, but bountifully because you know that's the heart of God for you. He blessed me about bountifully. Why not do that? Well, I had to be honest with God. I don't know how to do that. But I'm here to learn. So I'm teaching you as I usually do, as I'm learning. But here's what I found. God works better when we're quiet. God moves better when we're quiet. We can hear God better when we shut up. There was a text Lindsay sent me. I'm trying to remember what it said. It's hard to hear from God when we've already decided what we want him to say. That's how it goes. It's hard to hear from God when we've already decided what we want him to say. Okay. I don't know, God. I don't decide what I want. Yeah, well, you do. And I'm mad at you for it. But I do expect you to grow. I do expect you to become better. So let's go back to this the word. I want to make sure we stay on the word here. Give sparingly, you reap what people have to spare. You give bountifully from the heart of God, as God directs, people begin to bless you back according to that same flow. Every man should give at his purpose in his own heart. So God said, I want it to be purpose. I don't want it to be, I didn't elaborate because the scripture does. As his purpose in his own heart. It should be from your heart, and it should be something that you've said in it before God. Trust in the Lord, and he should give you the desires of your heart. So as you purpose now in your heart to follow that desire that God has put in you, trust God, he gives you the desires of your heart. It means he gives you what your flesh desires. That's the misquote. No, it says he'll give you the desires of your heart, meaning he'll put desires in your heart. He'll put the desires in your heart that he wants you to have. Trust in the Lord, he'll give you the desire of your heart. And then you purpose in your heart to give that the way God gave it to you. So let him give, not grudgingly, we went over that last week, or of necessity. Now that was the word that hit me this week in a way that it didn't hit me before. He said, okay, you know that you're not supposed to give grudgingly, but I want you to understand the definition of necessity and why I'm saying I don't want you to give grudgingly, meaning with a bad attitude, but he said, I also don't want you to give out of necessity. And this, in my mind, I said, yeah, meaning giving out of, I have a need. He said, but it's more than that. Angin K would be the Greek, but it says, watch this. Necessity imposed by, either by circumstances or by law of duty regarding one's advantage. Now, wow. Let me break that down. He doesn't want us to give out of necessity imposed either by circumstances or by law or of duty regarding to one's advantage. Now, the second one says out of calamity, distress, or straits. Let's talk about that real quick. So he's saying, I don't want you to give of necessity. Meaning, because there's a reciprocation, I'm in trouble, I got a problem, I'm going to sow a seed. That has been taught in the church. That's what I thought you do. When you get in trouble, you sow a seed because God rewards a seed. And so I've been taught by church, come on now, that when I'm in trouble, I'm supposed to buy my way out with a seed. And he just said, I don't want your seed of necessity. He may have received it because he was meeting you where you are, as I begin this message by saying, he's not judging you by what you don't have. He's judging you by what you know. So now you know, okay? God don't want you giving a seed because you got a problem that you need him to fix. He wants your seed always to be, I came before you, I surrendered before you, I laid before you who I am and what I am. I said, God, what should I do according to your word? And you told me to do that. And then I purposed in my heart to do what you instructed me to do. Wow. So now I have to unlearn this whole process of give God something to get something because I'm in a situation. said, God, you just warped my whole belief system. I don't know how to process that. He said, right, you don't, do you? Do you don't know at all, do you? Right? I said, I don't. He said, then give that to me so that I can purpose your heart different towards you doing it going forward in a different way. So then give me that. See, that's what the purpose of the heart and the love relationship is about. The relationship with me and God is a reciprocal relationship. I come to you with what I have. You fix it, you purpose it, you repurpose it, you put it back in me, and I flow out of it. Not, I come to you with my mess, I bring you my mess, you fix my mess the way I think you should fix it, and then you send me back out there to mess it up again. That's not the way the flow works. You don't want me giving grudgingly, we accept that. But we've also accepted necessity should be the way we move for God. And God is saying, no, I don't want you to give to me because you have a need. I want you to give to me because you have love for me. What do we do with that? What do we do with that? Because I thought I was doing a noble thing. Well, God honored it because he knew where we were. But all of you that have children, you don't want your kids cleaning the house and doing stuff that they're trying to get something from you. You want them to do it eventually and be nice. You know, but they just did it because they just love you and they want the house clean because they know it would make you happy. Wouldn't that be nice? Well, maybe God just wants us to give because we love him and we know that will make him happy. And let him decide how bountiful the blessing should be. Not, well, I gave my offering, and I believe for a hundredfold return. Well, see, that's out of necessity. You're working a game here. You're working a plan. And yet, he promises a hundredfold return. But that should not be the motivation of my heart nor yours. That should not be the motivation of my heart. That will not, going forward, be the motivation of my heart. That's a choice I'm making. Join me, don't join me. That's the choice that I'm making. I don't want to do this anymore. Daddy has shown me. I don't want you giving out of necessity. I don't want you giving because there's an advantage for you. Yes, there is one. But that should not be my motivation. That should not be your motivation. Is that clear enough? I mean, can I make that any clearer? So this verse has been in the scripture forever, but man, it's just so overlooked. So now I'm reading this whole giving it should be given unto you, and I've read it pridefully because I was going to say, I don't give grudgingly, and I don't give up necessity, and now I've come to the realization, oh, yes, I do. Maybe not grudgingly, but definitely of necessity. For God loves a cheerful. So now he's telling you what he doesn't want, but now he's breaking down what he does want, and what he wants is a cheerful giver. So now I need to understand what that means. And it says, watch this, hilarious. Merry, prompt, willing, out of a joy, out of a love. A cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it giver, prompt to do anything whose heart is in his giving. Now the Amplified explains it that way. A joyful, cheerful, prompt to do it giver whose heart is in his giving. Joyous, cheerful, prompt. Joyous, cheerful, prompt. Say it with me. Joyous, cheerful, prompt. This is what God is looking for. This is why I'm making a big deal out of it, right? He said, I don't want this kind, but I want this kind. Okay, he wants me to be joyous about it. Right? Why? Well, we can cover a billion scriptures to cover this, but basically the joy of the Lord is your strength. So that means my motivation and my strength for doing anything should be joy. That's simply put. Cheerful, excited about the opportunity to be in partnership with God and prompt to do it. Word for this year has been obedience, prosperity and obedience. God has been pushing the obedience level strong. Obedience. God wants obedience. Okay. You want me to be prompt in my obedience, which I covered a couple of weeks ago. I need you to do it, and I need you to do it as soon as I ask for it. I need you to be prompt. I need you to be on time with the giving. I gave that story last week of, you know, God telling me to give this small amount of change. And I was like, I was insulting. Why would I give that? That's going to make me look bad. And God cornered me. And then it lined up with a scripture they were standing on, and it changed and blessed their heart, changed their life. And I realized, wow, me trying to be, quote unquote, more generous, which was really to be more praised, to be honest, that I would have missed out on the opportunity to minister encouragement and comfort to them. Because let's face it, if I had given them $50, if I had given them $100, if I had given them $1,000, that would have been gone in a week, and they would have been right back where they were. But because I was obedient to God and gave them the $5.29 and it ministered to them a scripture, that's an encouragement that would carry them through way more than $1,000 would have. We could have this conversation over and over again, but, you know, there it is. The word from the Lord changes your life, not the bird in the hand. So, God wants joyous, cheerful, and prompt to do it obedience. Joyful, cheerful, prompt to do it obedience. He calls your name, you say, here I am, Lord. I need you to do such and such. I don't feel like doing that. I don't feel right about doing that. I don't really want to do that. I got it. So are you going to stick with that? Are you going to go do it out of that? Or are you going to come to me and surrender your heart to me so that I can change your heart, that it lines up with mine, that when you go forward to do what I've called you to do, your joyful chance to prompt to do it. Let me break that down one more time, because I may have missed you. So when God calls me to do something, somebody here knows what I'm talking about, and you don't really want to do it, or you don't have a heart to do it, or he says, give that amount, and then you, of compulsion, or of necessity, or grudgingly sow that seed. Well, God told me to put that $1,000. I don't want to do it. God told me to go say I'm sorry to that person. I just didn't want to do it. But, you know, I did it. Praise God. I was obedient. Okay. He said, I don't want that kind of offering. So what do? I bring to him what he's asked of me and said, I will not move any further with this until you give me a heart that's willing. I will run, Psalm 119 says, and not walk in your ordinances when you give me a willing heart. I will run to do your will when you give me a heart that's willing. If you be willing and obedient, you should eat the good of the land. Willing and obedient. Notice willing is first and obedient is second. So God doesn't just want your obedience. He wants a willing heart. So we spend a lot of time on how to give to receive. But what we really need to receive before we give is fertile soil, a willing heart. And that takes time before God. So thank you on behalf of God for your obedience and doing the thing he told you to do, even when he don't want you to do it. But let's move now to a new age of time and maturity, where we're sitting before God and we're deciding to do what he wants us to do, because we sat before him to get a heart that's willing before we went forward to do it. That's a more excellent offering. Do I need to explain that some more? I'll give you that. That's a more excellent offering. That I say honestly before God, I don't want to do this. I don't want to obey this. But I'm going to do it anyway. That was nice. But the next level of maturity says, I'm going to sit before you till my heart is changed to be on one accord with yours, God, so that when I do it, I'm a joyous, cheerful, prompt to do it giver. I'm not doing it grudgingly or of necessity, because I want to be the giver that you love. Let's go back to my verses here. Am I speaking to you today? Just, you know, say hallelujah if I can hear you. Amen. these little things, the little foxes that spoil the vine, that we get to a certain place in God and we feel like we're not growing anymore. And then you get alone and you get put in a situation like God has me in, where I got some time to listen. And he says, let me reveal some things to you, son, that have evaded your mind for a while. For God loves a cheerful giver. Joy is proper to be a cheerful giver. For God loves, not grudging or necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Now, this is where the story turns, because he lays this verse 6-7 outline of what he wants from you. Now, I want you to listen to me right now. He lays this outline up of, I don't want this kind of gift, I want this kind of gift. And I don't want you to give that way, because I want you to give this way. And I don't want your heart to be here, I need your heart to be here. But God, if you pay attention to his word, he always goes right into it. And this is what I'm going to do for you if you do that. This is how I want to now bless you, if I can just get you to line up with this. There's a reason I gave you 6 and 7. So I can now give you 8. Because he says, see, I don't ask for nothing. God is God of reciprocity. If you sow, you reap. He said, I'm not going to demand anything of you. And you look at it, even when he rebukes them in the book of Revelation, he said, you've forgotten your first love. Return to me and I will return to you. There's always this reciprocation. He's like, no, I'm trying to get stuff to you. So I'm asking stuff of you because I can't do for you what I want to do the way I want to do it, because I need to get you somewhere before I can do it. So 6 and 7 is getting you here so that I am now able, because you did 6 and 7, to make all grace abound towards you in all things, that you may abound in have all sufficiency in all things, that you may abound to every good work. I got so excited, I messed it up. I'm going to read it again. Here we go. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you will always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Now, this is another breakdown word by word thing. I don't know if I get to do it this week. But let's just look at what 6 and 7 sets you up for. Let's just at least let me just get a boilerplate. Let's just try to do that. And God is able, and that word really is willing or desiring or here's what the Hebrew says. Able, powerful, mighty, strong, mighty in wealth and influence, strong in soul to bear calamities, trials, and fortitude and patience. This is what God is able to do. He's able to do something mighty, excellent, and something having power to do something. So he's saying, I'm able to do this. So I said, well, God, why isn't it willing instead of able? He said, because my willingness is clear. I'm saying I'm able to, but if I don't get you to 6 and 7, I'm not able. I need 6 and 7 from you so I can do 8. You ever took classes in college? You got to take the prerequisites before you can get the real class. He said, I want to do 8, and I'm able to do that, and I'm willing to do that. But I need 6 and 7 from you first. A willing, joyful, prompt to do it, not grudgingly, not of necessity. I'm able to do all of this for you, but I need something from you. And the something I need from you is in verse 6 and 7. Why? Because now I can do, I'm able to do, now I'm been released, if you would say, to do. Make all grace abound toward you. Now, I want to go through each one of these words because they're very, very important, but I know for the time's sake, I can't. So I'm just going to use the word abound for now. to make all, well, let's do grace in a bound. I don't know how much time I have left, but let's just do grace in a bound for now. And then we'll pick it up next week. But watch this. He said, I'm able to make all grace. And even the word make is powerful in this. But let's do this. All manner, that which affords joy, pleasure, delight, sweetness, charm, loveliness, grace of speech. God said, I'm able to make all of this abound towards you. Goodwill, loving kindness, favor, I'm willing to make and able to make all of this abound towards you. Of merciful kindness, by which God exerts his holy influence upon souls, other people, the heart of the king is hand, in the hand of the Lord, turns them toward you, turns them towards Christ, keeps strengthening and increasing them in your Christian faith, knowledge, affection, kindles them to the exercise of Christian virtues. Then the last one is, what is due to grace, the spiritual condition of one governing by the powers of divine grace. So, see, this one said it's a lot. He said, I'm ready to make all that I just read abound to you. Abound, I'll just give you a quick definition for now. Superbound in quantity and quality, to be excessive, to be superfluous, to be transcendent. I'm not reading that right. To cause, to superbound or excel. One more. To exceed a fixed number of measure, to be leftovers and above. That's just part of it. There's more to it. So what am I saying today? God's saying, listen, you have no idea what I want to do for you. But because you give the way you give, you limit the way I can flow back to you. So I don't want you doing this stuff because you got a problem. I don't want you doing this stuff because you feel you're going to be, I'm going to be upset with you and beat you up. I don't want you to do it because it's going to stop my blessings. He said, all of that. You know, God's asking me to forgive people. I'm like, God, I do it. But man, he said, no, I don't want that. I want you to come to me with it and sit with me until your heart and mind are one. And then when you do it, it'll be from the right place. And then I can make all grace, oh, come on now, come to you in abundance so that you'll be without lack in every area. He said, everything I'm calling you to right now, I need something from you. And I need you to stop giving me what you got to give me. And I need you to give me what I've given you to give me. God, some of you will catch that next month. All right. He said, I need you to give me what I've given you to give me because you've given it to me. I've checked you on it in the flesh. You've given it to me in the spirit. I repurposed it. I fixed it. I made it right. I put it back in you. And now it's you coming from a different place because you let me have it. And now you give it to whoever I've given it to you to give it to. And now I can do something with it. I don't want to keep giving to God my straps or my weak understanding of power. I want to surrender to God in a way. I told you it's going to start off slow, but it's going to get thick. I want to be changed in a way that everything he gives me, I can give it to him. I can lay it at his feet and let him change my perspective of life, of his love, of his joy, of his grace, of everything I think I know about God. As you've heard me say many times, learning is one thing. Unlearning is a whole different animal. So I need to unlearn now because I thought all my life you're supposed to give to get yourself out of trouble. God is saying, you know something. You give it to me as it stands. Let me change the source and the core of your spirit. And then when you give it out or you give it to the universe or you give it back to somebody or you bring it back to me again, it's purified. Isn't that what you do with your life? You bring God your stinking life and he purifies it. And you say, glory to God, I'm saved. Now let me go back in the world and live like the world and just try to be close enough to God and not lose my salvation. You know, and God's like, no, I don't want that. I want to make you all the stuff I told you I called you to be. But you keep trying to live out of you. You keep trying to put new wine in old wineskins. You just keep bursting all over the ground. I need something new from you. And so when he checked me on this message and he woke me up this morning, we were talking about it, and I was like, God, I was just feeling heavy. God, I feel heavy this morning. Like, why do I feel heavy? He said, because your heart is weighed down with the fact that you do things the way you do things. And then he had me look up that one word. Necessity. Wow. Wow. Okay. So the game changes today for all of us. We take all of this stuff, and I know everybody on this Zoom with me has some junk. We all got some baggage, all of us. So we're going to take that baggage one by one. Stop hiding that God don't see it. Pull the one from under the bed because he sees it. Okay. Just pull it out. Just pull it out. He sees it. Bring it out. Submit it all before him. Even the stuff you don't think he sees, bring it out. And submit it and say, I'm giving this to you. Change it so that when you give it back to me, now I'm doing it instantly, joyfully. Just your anointing all over it. And your peace flows through me. Even as I flow in the things that you give me to flow in. I don't want to keep using God's stuff in my strength. I want to do God's stuff in God's strength. And I think that's the maturity that God is calling us to in this season and time. Can we do the things that God is calling us to now in his strength? His grace and love is supporting us doing it in our strength. But it's time to grow up. It's time to do it in his strength. And that's what I'm seeking now. And that's my prayer for you. In Jesus' name, Father, I just come before you on behalf of your people. And I thank you that we are growing up. We are maturing. We're getting better. We're seeking to know your ways and your will in a way we never knew before. We want to be better children. We thank you for your love and grace and mercy. You let me know you're not disappointed and disgusted with us. But this is the season of maturity for us. You're calling us to the next level of growth. So we thank you for it. And we bless you for it, and we receive it wholeheartedly. At this point, from this time on, we trust you to teach us and to poke us and to prod us when we're doing it in our own strength, but we're giving out a necessity to say, change and check your heart. And so we're here. We're before you. And your word says, if we lack that wisdom, if we lack that instruction, we lack that direction, we ask you, you give to all men liberty and upbraid them not. So right now, we come humbly before you saying, change our hearts now down to the core, to this next level. We need it. We need it. And we know that you know we need it because you put it on us to deal with it. So here we are. We thank you, Father, that we stand before you, vindicated because of our desire to do right. And we trust you that we are victorious. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Be blessed. Amen. Good stuff. I can't hear you, but